Beth Martin and Dakota Hunt, who were united in marriage yesterday, and continue to pray for them. Christ-honoring ceremony. Looking forward to God continuing to use them and use them in this church. I invite you to take your scriptures, locate 1 Peter chapter 2. So let's start off with a little exercise. That sounds great. An exercise of the brain and of your will and thinking. Let me ask you, what are you thinking? Two words. What are the two words that pop into your mind immediately? And maybe an action to go along with it. Are you ready? What are you thinking? Politicians. Reserve it to two words. What are you thinking? What would you like to do? In case you forgot, number one was politicians. Number two, some of you go back to the 1960s, the ban on public school prayer. Number three, what are you thinking? The boss is watching. The boss is coming. And that ripples throughout the office, down the assembly line. What are you thinking? When you look down the road and you recognize the speed trap. What are you thinking when it comes the spring of the year and it's IRS time? What are you thinking when you hear this statement? The pastor and the elders have made a decision. What are you thinking? What should we be thinking? There's something in me that always says, I want to say no. I want to do my own thing. I want to naturally resist and rebel. Here's the heart of this passage. I must always do right. Which involves thinking right and acting right in all of the situations we mentioned, in any and every situation. I must always do right from heaven's perspective. Our title this morning from this passage, verse 13 through 17, is the world's hardest activity. Chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Whether to the king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God. And by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The world's hardest activity is right here. Indiana native, I believe, John Cougar Mellencamp sums up the fiber that runs through every one of our beings. I fight authority but authority always wins. Let's build off some of the lyrics of his song that jump out of this text. I fight authority, but authority always wins. Let's look at authority, surrender, submission. Well, I'll kind of use that same description this morning. Let's look at the burden of authority, but we're not going to leave it there. We're going to focus quite a bit of our time on the blessing of authority. But first, the burden, you might even want to put in the bummer of authority. Our human nature, it is as natural as blinking. Just everybody try not to blink. They tell us that we naturally blink about every 6 seconds. Just try not to blink. It's like impossible to breathe and not blink. It's our human nature. Nobody likes to be told what to do. When you hear the words submit, surrender, them's fighting words. It just naturally flows out of us. And we are reminded, and we need to be reminded, it is helpful for us in here to be reminded today that in the heart of every sinner, that takes in all of us, as well as everyone else on the planet, in the heart of every sinner is rebellion against authority. Well, what are the blessings of authority? We have before us an open Bible, and we're stepping into the thoughts of God. The Bible is the story of authority. It begins with God's authority. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. And we step into a perfect environment as we take in paradise and the Garden of Eden and everything submitting and surrendering to the authority of God. Now, as we fast forward to the end of the Bible and the last book and the last chapters and the last thoughts expressed in the Bible, it ends with the complete, total, winning authority of God. Christ on the throne. Starts with God's authority, ends with God's authority, but we all kind of have an inkling, if we've been around the Bible much, what happens in between. And Adam and Eve in the garden, rebelling against God's authority, being passed on to us and all of humanity, and my, we're good at rebelling against God's authority. But let's not forget how it ends. And that's very practical for us to take into this week as you are bombarded with data and information and events that may be discouraging, depressing, distressing. Look at the last chapter. Look at the end of the book, which is the beginning of eternity. That last chapter balances every breath of our life today. It also challenges us. With how we are responding to the authority in our life. Here's the blessing. Heaven's authority wins in the end. And springing out of this passage is this truth. Submission to authority births the blessings of lasting freedom. Do you want to be free? Then we must bow the knee. And you see that in your notes. May I encourage you to double underline that and then flip the page. Bow the knee. Verse 13 to 17, a very short portion of scripture. Five blessings come out of that short portion of scripture. Let's look at lesson number one, the role of authority. Role, R-O-L-E, role of authority. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, to every human institution, believers, Christians, Christ followers are not to be known as subversive troublemakers, but as model citizens. Model citizens. We're the model for the rest of the world. There's a sense that we say, we play on Team Jesus. Look at us and discover the right way to do family. Look at us and discover the right way to interact with one another at work. Look at us and discover how to be a community that is concerned and ought to be concerned with one another. Look at us and see what it means to do right, especially in this matter of authority. We're not to be subversive troublemakers, but model citizens. We are to willingly submit to every human authority God has placed in our life. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Jot down this passage, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. I'm going to read at least a portion of that this morning. It applies so well to what Peter had to say. Listen to what Paul has to say. Romans 13, verse 1. Every person is to be in submission to the governing authorities. Why? There is no authority except from God, and those that exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance, the commands, the teachings of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil behavior. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. I encourage you to read through that passage in its entirety and ponder it, mull over it, meditate on it. Willingly submit to every human authority God has placed in your life. That word submit is often has a military connotation to it for closing ranks and following the chain of command. But here it is used in a non-military sense, focusing on voluntary cooperation, helping carry the load. And it stresses for us that doing right is God's will. This is God's will, verse 15. This is God's command, which means there's a obedience-disobedience factor, an evaluation from heaven itself being placed on every one of us across the board as we deal with authority figures, authority systems in our life. And we as the body of Christ are called to model to community and to culture for duplication the right way to live and do life. Well, there briefly is the role of authority that's been placed and allowed there by God. Let's look at the responsibilities of authority. Verse 14, the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. The responsibilities of authority. Authority influences people. It can influence people for bad, for wrong, for evil. And we see that all the time. Authority can also influence people for good. And here's some of the assignments, the responsibilities for those in authority. And especially the emphasis here is stressing the government's role. But there's some very practical applications for all of us. We're going to touch on that in just a minute. But maybe just think of the government role for a minute and their responsibility, the punishment of done wrongs, but also the praise of doing right. And often the focus is on the first one, and I'm trying to think of when the government praised me for doing the right thing, or they sent me a thank you note. There's probably more than I realize. There's government authority. Let's bring it down a little more personal into our life. Let's think of parental authority. People authority, our interactions with one another here and in the workplace, in the neighborhood. And I'm challenged to think of pastoral authority. Parental, people, pastoral responsibility that we all have before the holy God that we just sung about and worshiped. For us who are parents or have any children under our influence, there are responsibilities, and we often think of the punishment end of it or the corrective end of behavior. How about the praise end? The praise for doing right. Let me just speak into your life as I let it speak into my life. Think through your conversations at home. Let's ask ourselves the question, are we abusive in our speech at home? Dads, how do you handle it when your kids are not perfect little angels like they always are at church? How do you handle that at home? You do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I can't believe how stupid you are. Fill in the blank. I was trying to think, how do I express abusiveness? We've probably all been there on both ends of the equation. Are we abusive in our speech? Not only to our children, but to our wives, to our husbands, in our homes, to people in church, at the workplace? How about, are we shriekers? Shriekers, just uncorked, just letting it all hang out, blasting. You know, I thought of two words that would all help us here. The two words that I thought of were duct tape. But then, as I got thinking, if you'd all come to me and say, Jim, you're abusive in your speech, you're a shrieker, and we've all come to you with duct tape. And you duct tape me, and now I can no longer express anything. But what's the problem? I may not be able to verbalize it, but what comes off my lips is my heart. And just zipping the lips still leaves me with a heart problem. Still leaves all of us with a heart problem as we all own this passage. We need the work of God, the work of his word, the work of his spirit in our heart. And in our heart, that will influence our speech. And a key to having that heart surgery that we all need is to bring in the word of God, the truth of God into our heart. We've got to take it in if it's ever going to come out. And we take it in by reading it, by studying it on our own, by studying it together, and to memorize it. And when you have maybe a particular issue, you know, is kind of a flame issue in your life, the great thing is you can target, there are verses that target especially that flame issue. And do that work to bring the truth into our life. How we respond to authority influences others. And how we handle being in authority will influence others. There's great responsibility. Let's focus especially on that praise end in the days and the weeks ahead. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king, some of your translations will say the king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him. Let's look at lesson number 3, the range of authority. The range of authority. There's probably 2 words running through just about everybody's mind here. What if? The Bible tells me to submit to every authority. What if? Let's touch on that just a little to understand what we're called to. We need to understand the range. The king, the governors. What does that mean? Where's the escape clause? What's it look like? The escape clause is narrow. And when it is applied, we must always remember it is worship directed to God. Are there times to say no to human authority? And the answer is yes. Those yeses are narrow, and when they're applied, there is always a worship direction. And the direction naturally is for us to want it to be to ourselves. That worship direction is not to self. This is what I want. This is how I feel. I'm free. I should be free to have whatever I want. Now, when the exception is initiated, it is always worship directed to a holy God. I don't think I'm the only one in here who occasionally has the idea of, I just want to do what I want to do. And when you think about it, that is self-idolatry. I am bowing before the idol of me. And right away, I'm reminded of one of those commandments that says, thou shalt have no other gods but the living God of the Bible. We all need the reminder that every human being is fallen and imperfect, starting with us. Now, that doesn't leave us off the hook. But as I look out into the world, as I think of authority in all of its different expressions, every human being is fallen, sinful, and imperfect. And if I think and I expect to have a perfect government outside of eternity, I'm fooling, deceiving myself, and I'm going to be disappointed. Doesn't leave anybody off the hook. But we need to be grounded in the Word of God and the reality of the Word of God. Well, then, when there's an ungodly government, which there always is, and it will be expressing itself in an ungodly way, what am I, what are we as Christians supposed to do? Submit to the Lord's sake to the king. Submit to the Lord's sake to the governors. We step back into the time of 1 Peter, and Peter writing, everyone would have gotten it. Speaking about the national government focused on, at that time, the Emperor Nero. How is Nero? Check history and bring your barf bag. It goes down to the local government and governors. Remember the governor at the time of Jesus' birth? Check out his history. Better bring the bag that holds our lost lunch. And Peter said, submit in those moments. Well, what if there's oppressive taxation without representation? What if there's a debauched, tyrannical dictator who is deified and insists on being worshiped? And everyone is held accountable. What if slavery is state-sponsored and slaves, which make up the majority of the population, are labeled as non-humans? What if there's the systematic abuse of women, the abuse of children, the abuse of infants? Women had essentially no rights. Children were brought into slave labor. An infant was often sacrificed as part of the cornerstone of the building of a city wall or a religious temple, placed into a jar alive, and the jar put into the building of the wall. That was much of the culture of that era. What if defenseless, the abuse of the defenseless is celebrated? All those things were the Roman world. All those things were the New Testament environment. And everyone in the audience would have felt the tension, feel torn, and wonder where the line was. As we struggle, and we should with the tension, may I remind you what the Word of God reminds all of us? Sin is always self-serving, and sin is often at the expense of others. And while that breaks our heart, and it should, we are reminded of that last chapter, that God's holiness will address all sin and hold every sinner accountable for their sin. God is a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. But I'm in the equation, and so are you. And God is also a God of grace and mercy to those who are repentant. And that gives us all hope, and it gives us all some stability as we have to live in this sin-cursed world. Is there ever a time when a Christ follower should defy human authority? Yes. The lane is narrow. It is worship directed back to God. The answer is yes. When submitting, we are called to submit to human authority until our submitting makes us not submit to human authority, heavenly authority. That was a long sentence. I kind of botched it up. Let me say it this way. We obey until our obedience makes us disobey God. And that is very rare. There are a number of examples of that in the Bible. Can you think of some of them? Egypt. Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, kill babies. And those Egyptian midwives resisted Pharaoh's authority, submitted to God's authority. That's a good example. King Nebuchadnezzar erects a statue of himself. He says, everybody, kneel before me in worship, calling me God. Cannot do that. That would be disobeying God. The emperor was considered God, demanded God worship, and everyone was to go to the temple once a year. And you could pray to anybody you wanted to. You could pray to all the Roman God options throughout the temples. You want to throw in the God of Israel, the God of Jehovah? Wasn't a problem. Except annually, you were to worship the emperor. And there were checks to see if you came and offered your sacrifice of worship to the emperor. And that's where the early Christians got in trouble with the government, because they chose to obey God and disobey that edict that they could not obey and still obey God. Most of those scenarios were where the authority told the believer to do something, and they could not do it. There is a couple of examples in the New Testament. Right after the ascension of Christ, where the apostles were told not to do something. You cannot preach. You cannot preach Jesus. And what did the apostles do? They preached Jesus in a place where they were free to preach. The lane is narrow. The lane does exist. While it's rare, in those moments, our option must always be, I must obey God. I must always obey God. Lesson number four, the reasons for authority. This is the will of God, verse 15, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Connects with last week's study. It is a declaration to unbelievers of the reality of our faith. When they see us acting like what is not natural for anyone, to act in a way that no one wants to act, that is a evangelistic expression of the difference in our lives. God is honored when we, his earthly representatives, stabilize society. We're not called to overthrow society. We are called to stabilize society, and we do that by living peaceful lives. There is an upward purpose in our submission to authority. It's worship. It is also an apologetic evangelism to the rest of the world that our faith is real. Let's look at the last lesson of authority. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the expression or the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 16, act as free men. Think about that. We surrender, we submit, and in doing that, heaven identifies us as free. Act as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. Use it as, some of your translations will say, bond slaves. Take the bond out of there. Translate it correctly. Slaves of God. Verse 17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Real freedom is being enslaved to Jesus' teachings and Jesus' example. Let's go to the cross. What was the example of Christ? A totally innocent man, executed by human authorities who were abusive, who basically did it all wrong, who are and will be accountable. But you look at Isaiah 53 and all the other descriptions of the Messiah. He willingly laid down his life for the good of people. Real freedom is being enslaved to Jesus' teachings and Jesus' example. There are four ground rules that finish off this section of Scripture. In verse 17, God's ground rules for my living in this world that are freeing for me. Number one, honor all people. Every single person deserves active respect. Every person in the world deserves a decorum and a dignity. And when we see the politicians interact with one another, especially recently, we're not seeing how to do it right. And we as a church should do what we can to influence them instead of letting them influence us. How to disagree agreeably. How to work together and talk together with dignity and decorum. The word there, honor, talks about highly esteem with inner respect. And we say there, every person deserves active respect. There are times where we need to intervene on the behalf of the defenseless in our community and around the world. You know, submitting to authority doesn't call for us to sit life out. But we should do all that we're enabled to do to influence society for the better. Number two, love the brotherhood. It's talking about the body of Christ. In our expression, the church family. Love the church actively. And again, we should model to the rest of the world and to all authority figures how to do life, how to do business, how to interact with one another, how to put an idea together and get it off the launching pad. So again, do we look more like the Senate? Or will the citizens of the world profit by their human, by their authority expressions, looking and modeling us? Every single person deserves active respect. We're to love the church family actively. Fear God. Before we go to the last one, and we'll talk about fearing God, notice the only time in that verse that we're given the word fear is in connection to God. He didn't tell us to fear government. He tells us to fear God. Now, I'll explain what that means in just a moment. But let's keep it balanced. The only thing government and persecution can do is take your life. And if that happens and you're a follower of Jesus, you got a promotion. And you were an expression of how to live and die right. Now, I would prefer that it doesn't happen, that we don't go through any of it, all right? I do not enjoy pain personally. I don't like pain in your life, but I especially don't like pain in my life. Well, let's sober up. There are believers around the world who will die, likely die today because of their faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should clue in to that map every week. Why we've been praying for persecuted Christians for the last several months. I have friends who minister in the Ukraine. I don't know where they're at, but I know they're wondering how their church will hold up in the midst of all this mess. We live, fight, and die from the winning side. Now that's if you're a Christian. If you happen to be here today, you're not a Christian, believer, Christ follower, let me tell you, death is not something for you to look forward to. Because that will mean separation from God forever. And you don't want to be there. And you don't need to be there. We need to come to Christ. Admit that we're a sinner. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And we need to embrace him as our Lord and Savior. And you can do that right now in this moment. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I accept the free gift of your salvation. And let me tell you, the rest of your life, the one who gave you physical life, the one who just gives you spiritual life, is to take our breath away. And that's what it means to fear God. It is that expression of awe, A-W-E. It's the awe of God that is breathed out in our life as active obedience. And that active obedience is also to all human authorities until they tell me to disobey and defy God. Every single person deserves active respect. We're called to love the church family actively. The giver of life takes my breath away. And number four, be thankful for your government as you model personal integrity. This is a sermon that can be preached anywhere in the world today, but here we are here. So you know the expression of your government, your imperfect government, full of imperfect sinners. We should be thankful for and pray for our government. That does not mean you have to agree with them. You can disagree, but you cannot dislike. So where have we gone this morning? What have we learned? Heaven's authority always wins in the end. And if we want to be free, then we must bow the knee to every human authority until they tell us to say no to God. And in those moments, we say yes to God and no to the rest of the world. Father, as we come into your word and as we let its truths linger in our life, it is a reminder for us to confess where we have been wrong. And likely we have all had negative and unbiblical responses to authority figures in our life, in the family, in the church, in the community, locally, nationally, and globally. And so we confess as where we need to, our sin of being less than model citizens. We commit ourselves to living a life that is above reproach, that models integrity, that any student in our school district, if they would model our life, would improve the society around them. We do also pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are in a much more hostile environment than we are today. We pray for their faith. We pray for their faithfulness. We would pray for their freedom to live for the glory of Christ, to share Christ. And we would pray that those governing authorities would be moved to honor the God of all gods who is King. Until that final moment, we trust you and we commit ourselves to a life of obedience, to walk through the door of every opportunity that we can be a godly and good influence on those around us. But may we never sacrifice our biblical integrity for a calmer life on this planet. Lord, we pray for our elected officials that you would give them a grace to minister with dignity and decorum. We pray that you would move their heart and they would respond in a godly way. As we read through Scripture, we see a number of instances where you allowed evil as an instrument of correction, that you allowed evil and used evil for a greater good. And that just calms all our souls. and reminds us that when we don't understand everything, to never sacrifice our love for you, our love for our fellow brothers in Christ, and our love for all people, our love that they would all come to know the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. May we be the godly influence that you called us to be as we continually spotlight the reality of Jesus Christ alive in us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.